Sports News with Monaghan's Galway, Cooper Specialists. Monaghan's have secured for July 232 plate registration models of the new Leon, Formentor Hybrid and all-electric Bourne. 091-751919 for details.
Now, John Mulligan joins you at Sport today. Limerick have named their team?
Yes, they have. We're getting all very, very close now to it. It gets very real from now on as regards tomorrow evening, the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Semi-Final. Limerick have named their team. They don't have Sean Finn, Declan Hallan. They're out through injury. But interestingly, Cian Lynch has returned from injury. He will start at centre forward. There's a little bit of reshuffling in the backs because Kyle Hayes is named at centre back, Garrod Hegarty at wing back. Now, Galway named their team last night. No changes from the side that beat Tipperary in the quarter final. A few positional changes, though. Dahi Burke is selected at full back, Garrod McInerney at centre back. You have Sean Lennon, Kyle Mannion in midfield, Keenan Fahey, Brian Kincannon in centre, in the central positions in the attack, and Conor Whelan's also been in excellent form. So it's now starting to build up nicely, and we believe I've heard yesterday that over 50,000 tickets have been sold for tomorrow evening's game, which is not bad going when you consider that it's a 6 o'clock throw-in. A lot of people not very happy about that because obviously, you know, if you're travelling from Galway to Dublin for a 6 o'clock game, right, so you'll say you're leaving maybe about 2 o'clock, give or take, you mightn't get back until 2 a.m. as somebody actually said to me, then they're not going to the game because it's just too much hassle, to be very honest with you. But quite a few are going, and by the way as well, I was also here, the Galway Plazas are going to be open late on Saturday night for those heading back, I was told. So I'll have to give that mention as well.
Okay, the glee on your face says it all. So
it's a pity. I just won't be able to go there, but anyway, never mind. But 52,000 was the attendance for last year's semi-final, so it's on a par with that. And I was looking at the attendances last year for the semi-finals. For the Clare-Kilkenny game last year, it was only about 36,000. And for Galway Limerick, it was 52,000. So this will be on a par with that again. So it's going to be a good crowd. It's going to be a good atmosphere, hopefully. But like we always do say, you know, if you can, please do go, because this is one game where support is crucial. And I might be sounding like a kind of a, one of those kind of broken records, but it is. When an All-Ireland semi-final is an All-Ireland semi-final.
Absolutely. Can we look at swimming? Because yes, the Galway swimmer John Short will be going for a medal this evening in the European Junior Swimming Championships in Belgrade.
Amazing story, this lad. He's from Roscam. He is actually, up to November of last year, was playing rugby for Corinthians under-16s. Has really taken into swimming in a big way, has broken all sorts of records. He broke the Irish senior record yesterday morning he broke the Irish senior record in the 200 metre backstroke. He took 0.15 off the record that had been in existence for 6 years. Conor Ferguson actually did it in Belfast in 2017. He went in the heat yesterday, won it, went in the semi-final yesterday evening, came third. No, he was in trouble after the 100, but he showed an amazing turn of pace in the last 100, and his time actually of 1:59.08 was the fourth fastest of them all. So he's in with a really good chance of a medal. And you know, he swims out of Bluefin Swimming Club, and they use the Brothers of Charity pool in Clarenbridge.
Okay,
so there's a romantic element to all of this as well. And you know, I mean, I know the family, they're fantastic people as well. I want to spare say hello to Frank, the dad. But it is a big, big one for John. He has a great chance. Now, I was doing a little bit of homework yesterday. He's not a million miles off the Olympic qualifying standard. The Olympic qualifying standard for the B standard is 1:58.06. 1:57 something for the A standard. So he's not a million miles off it. It's amazing how one race can change things. And look, we wish him the very, very best of luck. It's on today, 5 o'clock. So we'll be keeping an eye on it, an FYI. But the race will be going to time. The LEN European Championships have been very strict regarding times all through the championships. And they were brilliant yesterday. So we wish him well. It's going to be some race, and hopefully he gets himself a medal.
Good stuff. Fingers crossed. We'll be listening to FYI this evening to see how that goes. From their golf, the Clare amateur, Áine Dunnigan had a brilliant start to the Women's US Open.
This is
Pebble Beach.
This is the story. I was talking to Ollie in the office, and he made a great point. It'll make a great film, because this is a girl who hadn't planned on qualifying at all. Somebody else was going. She says, I'll go for the crack. She qualifies for the US Women's Open, which is one of the hardest competitions to get into. she plays out of Lahinch, which is a tough course anyway, so the experience she would have got from there was massive. She's from Ennis. She went to qualified. Yesterday, she led the US Women's Open for a while. She's only one shot off the lead going into today's second round, you know. And, I mean, she's an amateur. So this is just a phenomenal story. It really, really is. We have some audio from her, actually, thanks to the US, and thanks to the US Open. I'll play it at 1 o'clock. It's a little bit lengthy, but it's very, very good. And you can hear it in her voice. It's like a pinch me moment. She keeps calling it because it is. She was playing with Annika Starnstam, who's one of the greatest golfers of all time, male or female. And that was her practice round. I mean, you just can't. If you wanted to write a script about it, you couldn't. And Leona Maguire, by the way, who is also there, let's not forget Leona, the Cavan girl, she is also just one shot off the lead. So we have a very, very strong Irish involvement in this US Women's Open. And this could be worth. And, you know, And going a little bit closer to home, we have three Galway golfers involved right now in Irish Close Championships in the latter stages. Joe Lyons, by the way, of Galway Golf Club, he is in action in the semi-final of the Irish Senior Men's, and he is one up. In fact, the screen has just flashed in front of me. He's one up through 14 holes in his semi-final against Patrick Madigan from Tramore. And the other one is over. Sarah Heavey from Sligo beat Derek Basquel of Inniscrown. And there's a little smile here because it's in Strandhill. So you have two Sligo golfers taking on each other on the Sligo course. But Sarah Heavey won it. He won it 4-3. The first semi-final. So Joe Lyons is one up through 14, and that's the semi-final, and the final is later this afternoon. So if Joe goes through this, and just to mention, by the way, that the Irish Boys and Girls Close Championship plate is on. It was decided yesterday, because of the bad weather in Monkstown, to have it as a stroke play competition. So you have Rena Murphy from Oakderard, she's just out on course, and the same for Charlie Mooney from Ballinasloe. So Mooney, in fact, just teed off a couple of seconds ago. So, you know, we'll be keeping an eye on them as well. There's three going offers in with a fantastic chance of national titles before this day is out. It could be a very busy evening, yeah.
Now, a big weekend also, and it's from a soccer point of view, Galway United.
Yep, the men and the women are both involved in... now, people are going to go, John, will you shut up? They're not important games. Yes, they are, because Galway United take on Cove Ramblers this evening in the Airtricity League First Division, right? They are 13 points clear, we know. They're doing incredibly well, we know. But last Friday, let's be honest, Brendan Clark's save in the first half could have saved United a rather embarrassing afternoon or evening, shall we say. United won by 1-0. Morris Nugent got the goal. Tonight they take on Cove Ramblers, managed by a former Galway United man, Shane Keegan, and featuring, I think Charlie Lyons is playing with them as well, and Wilson Guerrero is, but he can't play against United tonight. But it's United need a win, because Waterford are winning games 5, 6, and 7 and all this kind of stuff. So they're trying to keep the pressure on United. Now, there was some good news during the week as well. Wasim Ashukaria has signed, who played with Waterford and in fact scored against United in the playoffs last season. And Eo Durbin played with Shelburne, played with Longford. Mercurial talent. The guy is brilliant. And they both signed for United, and I think they're both available to play tonight. So 7:45 kickoff. We've live commentary from Cove here on Galway BFM. And tomorrow, want to wish the very, very best of luck to Phil Trill's Galway United Women, because they're in the semi-final of the All-Ireland Cup. This is the competition that featured clubs from both North and South. And they're taking on Wexford in the semi-final tomorrow in Fraser Carrick Park. Kickoff is at 4 o'clock. The winners will play either Cliftonville or Cork City in the final. You know, it'd be fantastic if they were to make it. It would be absolutely brilliant if they were to make the final in that.
Rowing wise?
Yep, three Galway rowers competing in the World Cup in Lucerne. Now, the Lucerne World Cup event is one of the, you know, it's a premier event. You win in Lucerne, you know you've done something. Siobhan McCrone is going in the heat of the single sculls, and Fiona Murta and Afric Kyo in the women's fours. That World Cup starts this morning, so we'll keep an eye on what's happening there as well throughout the afternoon. Rowing Ireland, brilliant social media, by the way. Every time something happens, if somebody sneezes, they have it up on their website. So yeah, we'll be keeping a close eye on that.
Good stuff. Greyhound racing?
Yep, there is Greyhound racing at Galway Greyhound Stadium. First off, 7:50. All George's tips are up on goybfm.ie right now. There's horse racing at Belliustown as well, and at Wexford. And just before I go, best luck to Aoife Raftery, because she's taken part in the FIA European Rally Championship. Also, the last team county finals and community games are on Sunday. And there's actually a lad called Andreas Yudoka Binder, who is involved in MMA, and he's in a Levels Fight League lightweight title fight on Sunday against Aidan Lee from England. So it's going to be a very, very busy weekend of sport, every bit of it local, every bit of it here on Galway BFM. I'll just leave you with a tip. Freddie Robdahl, does his name ring a bell?
No.
Character in Only Fools and Horses.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And actually, I saw a very funny point, but I didn't think about it. There's another horse called Peckham Springs. So you could have, you could, if you wanted an Only Fools and Horses double, there you go. I'm not saying do it, because they probably won't, but Freddie Rob Doll, anyway, is our tip running in Wexford in the 758. And I haven't a clue where Peckham Springs is running. I've just seen it.
Only Fools and Horses would
great
go
show.
Would go betting, wouldn't they?
Great show.
All right, listen, John, thanks for joining us. Have a good weekend, and a busy, busy weekend it is with sport. And again, every puck of every ball and every spin of every oar will be available to you here on Galway BFM. Thank you, John, for joining us today on the programme. Now, some of the comments coming in today in relation to what has gone on at the junction down here in yesterday's traffic. Keith, it took me 2 hours yesterday evening to come from my Cullen to Monaghan's garage. The lights are a disaster, number one. We have 12,000 of an army and the lights should be turned off at 3 p.m. every day and the traffic directed by the army and free up the city. I don't know how people sleep at night that objected to the bypass. Keith, we've reached an all-time low, I'm afraid, and it's quite evident every day in this city when it's gridlocked and the people are at breaking point. A taxi driver shot out in front of me yesterday over near Melody Court in Renmore, and he proceeded to stick out his tongue and stuck up the two fingers at me as well. And Keith, it was pleaded at the time to leave the roundabout over at Menlo. But no, only two cars at a time can go over the slip road towards the Menlo Park Hotel. And 2 weeks ago, the second car was driving so fast and so close to the car in front that a mother was out walking her baby in the buggy and the doggy on the lead. The doggy was struck and killed. And if that wasn't bad enough, the car failed to stop, but was reported and followed by some natives there as well. So the dog was killed. That's how close the pram and the child and the woman. Oh, good Lord. The ordinary people of Menlo were not listened to at all those years ago to leave the junction as it was, because we don't have enough letters after our name. Okay, there's a huge pothole 1 kilometre from Kiltormer on the road to Ballinasloe. It's there for weeks. A bus hit it yesterday and was taken off the road. So can somebody from Galway County Council get into it, please, as soon as possible before somebody gets seriously injured? Keith, why can't you bring on someone from the council engineer or otherwise to answer those questions? Who are we talking to? The air? Another caller said, Keith, who was responsible for what happened yesterday? The traffic situation, another caller said, isn't just yesterday. It's every single flipping day and every morning and every evening and every minute of every day. The people in charge of the roads do not care. It's backed up as far as the Coast Road. They'll be coming around now soon, offering the sun, moon and stars to get elected for the next 5 years. And when they get it, get in, not a word out of them. The public have no say. Let's hope the new city manager is going to take control of this situation. Well, Patricia is in control as well, and other calls coming in there as well. I was listening to the death notices there, and you might remember during the week I said I was in Cosharrigan in on Spidgel. I got a call because I'd known Sean Connor, indeed. He was a neighbour and a mentor and a great friend, but he was a resident in Chalaghillan for a long number of years, transferred over recently to Cosharrigan in on Spidgel. But I went over to say goodbye to him on Tuesday evening, and I spoke about the facility and that, but he passed away, and his funeral is tomorrow, and it's Mass on Sunday morning as well. I'll make the removal tomorrow. I won't make the Mass on Sunday morning, but he was just a great man. Just at 11 years of age, he handed me the keys to his tractor and said, just mind yourself. He was just a lovely person, a lovely family, a lovely extended family. I know him as Sean Connor, but he's Sean O'Connor. And the death notices there, but may he rest in peace, a lovely man. Anybody that would have been a regular in Caelhens, he used to refer to it as the clinic, himself and his brother Eamon, I've often dropped them to the clinic. He'd meet them on the road and drop them down, but no more will I be dropping them to the clinic. They're in the clinic in the sky at this stage, so they are. And he liked his hot whiskey, and to Katie and the crew from Chalaghillan, who minded him for many years, and Geraldine Kine and the team in Cosharrigan. He'll be missed by all because he was really just a lovely, lovely, lovely person.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco. Look for the Price Cuts logo across hundreds of products in store and online.
Now, as we told you, the film flies nearly upon us starting on Tuesday, but the Screenwriters Masterclass takes place in the Galmont Hotel between 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock on Saturday the 15th of July. And again, if for more information or you want to apply for a place for any of the masterclasses, please contact Emma at filmfla.ie. My next guest, Carl Morley, is giving the Screenwriters Masterclass, and she joins me on the line today. Carl, great to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Listen, yes. I read all about you yesterday evening, I have to say, and I have to say you've had an eclectic life, you've had a difficult life as well. Born in Stockport, you were in bands at the age of 13, so you were 16 and 13. Your dad died when you were only 11, then you went back indeed to college. And look at where you are now, just look at you.
I don't know about that, but I think that ultimately, when you become a filmmaker, which I eventually did, you use everything that you can from your life. So I think I've turned things into very positive realities, if you like. So my dad actually killed himself when I was 11. So I sort of had to grow up in the wake of that. And people are often surprised I'm such a cheerful person. But I think that you take, you know, the things that have happened in your life and, yeah, make something of them. Yeah.
I didn't bring in the suicide or that he killed himself. I kind of was leaving because that's your story from there. But obviously it had to have a huge effect on you, and alcohol had a huge effect as well on you.
Yeah, so in I live in London now, but I'm actually currently in Manchester, which is where I'm from. And in the 80s, I really depended upon alcohol in a way to live for quite a number of years as a late teenager. And but eventually I turned that into a film called The Alcohol Years, which looks at a kind of me as a kid on the club scene and all of that in Manchester, but also really looks at all the other people involved and how we all live our lives and we all get through our lives. And I think that is what I've always been interested in, is that sense of other people and how we all become different people and respond to our lives. And my current film, which we'll be showing at the FLA on Saturday 15th of July at 5:30 p.m., Typist Artist Pirate King, is about Audrey Amos, an artist who was completely forgotten in her lifetime. And I was lucky enough to get to research her life. Wow. And she's just this incredible woman that people would actually have crossed the road to avoid. But when you get to know her, and I got to know her after she died, but when you get to know her, you just see the qualities in someone and how brilliant they were and how they lived. And so I think for me, filmmaking is all about life and going towards the light.
It is, but it takes a certain mindset or creative mindset to take something like Typist Artist Pirate King and take it to where you've taken it. I just love the thought process that you go through to bring it to the big screen.
Well, I think that, I mean, because I'm really looking forward to the Screenwriting Masterclass, which I'm doing with Mary Kate O'Flanagan. She'll be in conversation with me. And I think that, in a way, whenever I start to make a film, I always think about how is the best way to tell the story. So I don't impose a kind of style on it or a way of, I want to tell it. I'm always sort of exploring that story, because you always end up finding things and ways of telling that story you'd never have brought to it in the first place. So it's really a process of exploration.
But again, I mean, you've been very successful. You've written and directed a total of 12 films from 1993 to 2011. And onwards from there. I was fascinated by the production, by the way, I'm Not Here. It was inspired by the letter Sir Alec Guinness wrote to the Times, in which he complained about how little attention customers got in shops. Like, I suppose it's film in every one of us at some stage, but like, it's so true.
Yeah, and so I'm Not Here. I actually worked in a shop for many years, and then I started obviously using my experience to make a film. But then I started doing research, and I found this letter to the Times from Sir Alec Guinness being really annoyed that he was ignored in shops, and it was entitled "I'm Not Here." And I thought, well, actually, a lot of the time it's the customer ignoring the person behind the counter. But he turned it in on itself, and then I really did all this research into shop assistants and went beyond, you know, the surface level of it. I actually am very fond of that film, I'm Not Here. Yeah,
but you know, it's a simple premise, but executed beautifully, and would give you a thought process, really. You'd nearly be sympathetic towards to the shop assistant, or else you'd be cross with them. You can go yin or yang, so you can.
Really? Well, it's like whenever I get on a bus or go in a shop and someone's bad-tempered with me, I always think of the terrible day that they've had, you know, or the life experiences they're going through. So I think kindness is important. And I think so in all the films I make, I think I am like obsessed with going towards the light, but also a sense of kindness to the characters, even the most sort of difficult characters in a way have probably had experiences that have taken them there. So I think when you're in screenwriting, when you're exploring characters, you can't just create an evil character, because there's, you know, everybody is so complex, and there's there are many things that are unforgivable, but within screenwriting and films you have to explore why somebody is like they are. I think that to me is really interesting as well.
Now, typist artist Pirate King is going to be shown its Irish premiere, if you don't mind.
At
the Galway Film and Fair, Saturday 15th of July at 5:30 p.m. in the Palace. You can get further details, by the way, from the Galway Film and Fair website on that one, or THT, the Town Hall Theatre, tht.ie, from there. So really and truly, Saturday is extremely busy for you, because you're in the Galmont between 10 and 1 with Mary Kate O'Flanagan, and then you're going to be down at your Irish premiere in the Palace Cinema. So it's a busy
and
day.
And also at the Irish premiere, so the film is about Audrey Amis, who really existed. And when she died at 79 in her flat, her nephew and niece went in and found 50,000 sketches. And so, but the film itself is a road movie about that. But actually, at the Irish premiere, Audrey's nephew, Steve Weatherall, is going to be there. So one of the family members of the person the film's about is actually going to be in the audience. So I'm very, very excited. He's seen the film, but only on a link, because he's sort of a global traveller. So he's coming to Galway to see it. So that's going to be amazing. And also to add, everybody that comes is going to get a free Typist Artist Pirate King badge. So everyone
free
will leave
typist
with
artist,
the memories of the film and the badge.
what do they get? No, we love free things here, you know. What do they get free?
A lovely badge with the title on.
And
we will get one to you as well.
and BAFTA nominated as well. That's another. I mean, if you think about what happened to you when you were young and your dad passed away, did you ever think that you would be where you are in a career that you love so much and people love you so much? Do you ever think you'd be there?
No, I think I was from a very working class family, and when my dad killed himself, it was very, I think when I look back and even at the time I was aware that it was a very economically difficult time, and I think that definitely caused, you know, was a contributor to his depression. Really, I never knew, especially as a young woman, you never think you'd get into film or anything like that. And so I really, when I sort of became a late teenager in Manchester, everybody was in a band, on the dole and in a band. And so that seemed like a possibility. So yeah. I was in bands. But the idea of, you know, so I suppose in my mind, I thought, one day I could be successful in a band, but I wasn't very good. And then the filmmaking came slowly, and it wasn't till like 23, 24, I went back to college and studied film, and it really saved my life and changed my life. And I do put that down to the brilliant teachers I had. So I'm a great believer in education and teachers and night classes, and where you can start to rebuild your life or change your life or see a different possibility in your life. So that's how it all began, really, with a good teacher at 23 doing an evening class in film. And then I began to, you know, really get excited about the possibilities of film. And even then, it would never occur to me that one day, you know, I'd be nominated for a BAFTA, or one day, you know, I'd be making feature films. It seemed totally impossible. But now I realise that you just have to believe in yourself and in other people and the process.
Self-belief. I mean, you were born 4 years after I was born, and I came from a working class background, and I mean, whilst we had a lovely childhood, don't get me wrong, but it was a tough time. The 60s was a tough time right across the UK and Ireland, so it was. And there was very little. You had food, love and board, and that was what you had, because everything was a struggle.
it was a struggle. And so what I was growing up in the 70s. I was born in 66, but my memory is of the 70s in Manchester. And of course, the economic deprivation and the unemployment was really high. Yeah. And in fact, when I was at school and in a careers lesson, I've never forgotten the careers teacher going, if you work hard, you might get a job. It won't be a job you want, but you might get a job. And I've never forgotten that. The aspiration for us all was very, very low.
When I was in school, I was told that if I continued the way I was going, that I might be lucky enough to get to cycle. McCambridge's, they were a famous family indeed. They had a bike that you delivered stuff on. But if I worked hard enough, I might get a job on the Cambridge's delivery bike.
Sometimes I think jobs like that, you might be happier in, though it might be less stressful. I don't know. I guess in a way it has its own stress.
I love the job I have now, but certainly I wouldn't have made a great delivery lad. I think I'd have eaten most of it. Listen, you're coming to town, so if you want to get further details, Emma at Galway Film at filmflat.ie for further details there. And again, you'll be in town, and you really are you're an inspiration to a lot of people. So keep it up, by the way. You're not related to any of them.
Well, it's been a delight.
You're not related to any of the Morleys and Mayo or anything, no?
I wish. I'd love that. But
my producer.
Or maybe if I did my family tree, perhaps.
You might want some of them. But our producer, my producer is John Morley, and he's from Mayo, so he is.
I'd like to find a link there.
I don't know, do you really? But if you do, we can make that link for you on Saturday. He said in the headphones, you can bring me to the Oscars if you want. No, I'll tell you.
I could arrange that. I actually do vote for the Oscars now. I'm an Academy voter, so I have a lot of responsibility.
I don't think his head could handle that now altogether, really and truly. Keep up the good work, Carl. Thank you for taking time out to join us today, and you're very kind to do so. Carl Morley there, she's going to be in town for the Galway Film Flat, and we thank her for taking time out and joining us today. Just a lovely story. If you missed any of it, you can listen back to it, because the podcast will be up in a few minutes' time. Quick commercial break. We have a lovely story about Connemara ponies in Kylemore Abbey and all that. It's coming next. Stay tuned for that and more to come.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco. Enjoy a delicious time-saving meal tonight. That's dinner sorted.
A very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's program. Great, strong reaction, I have to say, to Carl Morley's piece there. And thank you to her for that. Keith, a phone lost on Wednesday last, possibly on the train leaving Galway at 10:20 p.m., travelling to Athenry. A Samsung Galaxy, if anybody found it or handed it in anywhere, would you please contact reception? And the whole traffic situation of yesterday is really exercising absolutely everybody today. Now, though, a lovely story has come our way of two of Ireland's leading visitor attractions coming together to share their common love of the Connemara pony. So Kylemore Abbey in Connemara is delighted once again to be partnering with the Irish National Stud to promote the Connemara pony. Conor Coyne, who's CEO of Kylemore Abbey, joins me on the line today. Conor, good morning to you.
Keith, how are you? Long time no chat.
Absolutely. And that we'll have to stop that now. We'll have to be chatting more often, so we will. It's a lovely story, so it is, of a lovely Connemara pony called Ava and her foal called Peaceful Blaheen.
Yes, indeed. Keith. So all the ponies actually who are born on site in Kylemore carry the Peaceful prefix. And last year we established a relationship with the National Stud in Kildare and the Curragh. Whereby we would place a pony and foal, a Connemara pony and foal, with them over the summer months and into the autumn just before weaning. So that was a huge success last year, so much so that the National Stud were very, very keen to replicate it this year and for the years to come. And yesterday we took the journey up with the mare and the docile foal, and they're now situated in a field side by side with some of the retired legends of horse racing, including Hurricane Fly and Faugheen, at the heart of the National Stud up in the Curragh.
It's a beautiful day out, so it is.
It is. It is a fantastic place, actually. So prior to returning to Connemara a few years back, I used to live less than half an hour from the National Stud, and it was one of our favourite places up in the east. It's such a kind of a break from maybe the urban centre up in Dublin, and there's some of the very finest equine athletes that have ever graced the turf, and they're there just to be met and just to be greeted. And I mean, you'll have ponies like Hurricane Fly, or sorry, horses like Hurricane Fly, with their heads over the fences, and young kids can rub their snouts. So it's to come that close to living legends is just a fantastic thing. And for us in Connemara to be associated with kind of equine legends like that, I think is a great showcase for the breed down west.
And how many ponies in total, Connemara ponies, do you have in total? I mean, they're not hard work, but they can be demanding enough at times.
They can. Thankfully, I don't have to clean out the stables, but we probably have a few too much at the moment. So we have seven mares, and we have a few foals as well. So actually, six of the seven mares are in foal for next year. So Sister Carol and the nuns and ourselves are going to be very busy watching six sprightly little foals come next springtime. But since we've got them in to the estate just 5 years ago, they've actually really become part of a much loved part of the attraction. And we find particularly the international visitors, and particularly the younger international visitors, are so interested and so affectionate towards them. You know Kyle Moore quite well, Keith.
Yeah.
At the Victorian Gardens, the tea house, just across from the tea house, is where we keep the ponies and foals for visitors to see. And every day we have kind of a talk and a feeding time where Ciarán Ní, who in her own right is a very accomplished rider, she actually talks to all the visitors and all the tourists about the importance and the great aspects of Connemara ponies. Yeah. And kind of whets their appetite to be more, to find out more, and perhaps maybe bring a pony home with them in the suitcases themselves when they fly home.
Well, I know certainly from a Chicago, Milwaukee point of view, I know that there was some Connemara ponies actually transported from Connemara to Wisconsin about 20 years ago, and and they're being bred out there as well, which is quite amazing. Do you go and check them then, or do the team up to keep an eye on them?
So it's actually great with the National Stud and our partnership with them. We actually exchange not only ponies, but we kind of exchange kind of tips and ideas as well about how to kind of run attractions that attract huge hundreds of thousands of visitors each year, because they're quite similar to us in terms of kind of scale and scope.
Yeah.
We can kind of, we often kind of exchange ideas with regard to sustainability initiatives, with regard to biodiversity on an estate, with regard to different elements like that. So we frequently have people kind of going up and down between both attractions, just to kind of share ideas as well. Me, myself, I plan on popping up maybe in August just to see how they're going. But I mean, they're under very, very watchful eyes up there with some of the greatest experts in equine in the country. So I think, to be fair, when they make the trip down, they nearly lose a stone once they look out the horse box and see the desolate fields in front of them, as opposed to the Curra,
yeah,
where they're based for the summer. But I suppose we're very lucky as well, Keith, that right beside us as well, we've got the National Park, and they also play a very strong role in promoting Connemara ponies to the huge number of visitors that they have as well. And it'd be remiss of me not to mention as well that they have an art exhibition focused on Connemara ponies in the National Park in Letterfrack at the moment as well. So for enthusiasts of kind of heritage of the West of Ireland, in particular equine, between Kyle Moore and the National Park, there's a lot going on this summer to learn about.
Good on them. Yourselves, I mean, what you have there, the product is just quite amazing. And and I've done it 1,000 times, when you're coming out and you come through and you're coming up and you get to the bridge on the right-hand side and you see the Kenmar Abbey coming out of the trees, it's magical. Every time I see it, I think it's magical.
Very much so, Keith. And this year, I'm delighted to say, obviously, we had a few difficult years post-COVID. The whole world did, getting back to normality. But this year, we've really seen a very strong return of international visitors to the West in general and to Kyle Moore in particular. And it's just great to see the enthusiasm and the excitement, particularly from international visitors from the likes of the US, Germany, France, and even further afield, as well as Irish. Coming to Kyle Moore, maybe absence made the heart grow a little bit fonder, because we really have just noticed a huge level of enthusiasm from the huge number of visitors that have started to come back.
How are your bus tours? Because post-COVID, I mean, you had a huge amount of bus tours. Are they back in their numbers again?
They're back at quite a strong rate. In a prior life, my commute used to involve the M50 in Dublin. Now the commute is dodging sheep in the Ina Valley and being stuck behind dozens of tour buses going out towards Connemara. But actually, it's a delay in traffic that you're delighted to see,
yeah,
because they bring they bring so much kind of life to Connemara, and they bring, and let's be honest, they bring employment to an area that badly needs employment. So Kylemore and is very happy to kind of play a role as an engine for employment in the area, and all the kind of the tangential benefits to employment in other sectors as well. And we need tour buses to be back, and they are, thankfully, and they seem to be very happy with what they're getting here as well.
So is it the same cluster of animals then? Because if I'm right, they were in Orsanuchtaron for a period of time as well, but you had some animals in Orsanuchtaron, but now they're in the National Stud.
Exactly. So 2 years ago, or was it three now? Actually, time running by for me. So there was a pony and foal in Orsanuchtaron and spent a summer there. And that was a great showcase, actually, and kind of that was a lovely piece. Then last year, it was the National Stud for the same pony and foal. And this year, we've actually sent up a different pony and foal just to give everybody a bit of an opportunity for the Curra grass.
Equality, yeah.
Yeah, and I suppose as well, it's very good this year as well to maybe give that bit of a highlight to the breed, because this year is a very important year for Connemara ponies. It's the centenary of the Pony Breeder Society, and in just under a month's time, there's going to be the big show in Clifton with a huge number of international equine enthusiasts coming there as well. So we're happy to hopefully contribute our piece towards kind of maybe showcasing and bringing a highlight to the importance of the pony in the month ahead.
Great stuff. Listen, well done to you. It's a lovely, lovely story, so it is. So if you're passing by the National Stud, you want to go there as a day out, it's a great day out, so it is. You can do so. But thank you indeed, Conor, for joining us today. And we'll be in contact. That's Conor Coyne, CEO of Kylemore Abbey there, joining us on the line. Still getting loads of texts about yesterday's traffic, lads, really and truly. Quite a few texts about yesterday's traffic. We'll throw it into the council and see, can we get something on it on Monday morning? But hopefully today will not be as bad as yesterday, hopefully. And the caller that we had on the phone just after 10 o'clock this morning, who made contact with me yesterday, very, very irate about it. And as you could still hear in his voice today, he's dead right. You know, if the schools were back, we'd have a serious issue. We have other people giving out too, by the way, of the thinning of streets in Galway City. Dominic Street apparently is a bit of a basket case, because delivery trucks now cannot pull up. They have to pull up outside Corliss and Menswear. So we'll try and get back to that on Monday morning as well. But if there's something that is bothering you and you want to get in contact with us, comments at galwaybfm.ie. That's comments, comments at galwaybfm.ie. You can also text and WhatsApp us to 086 38 33 553. And you can also call Thrace throughout the day as well at 091 770 077. That is it for this week. We're back with the best of Galway Talks tomorrow morning between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock here on Galway BFM. But from all of us involved in today's programme, John Morley produced today again. Thrace took all of your comments. And many others indeed were assisting today as well, because it's been a busy programme. But from yours truly, Keith Finnegan, and all the crew, we wish you a very happy weekend. We hope that you get out and about, get a bit of fresh air. We wish the hurlers all the best tomorrow evening, kicking off at 6 o'clock in Croke Park, and stay tuned for full commentary here. We wish Galway United all the best in Cove tonight as well. So whatever you're doing this weekend, try and enjoy it, and do join us Monday morning just after the 9 o'clock news. From John, myself, and everyone else, have a good and a safe weekend, and we want you with us Monday morning just after 9. Bye-bye.